This next session will be on another aspect of nutrition and healthfulness. This has to do with how our children develop physically and what happens to all of us when we are unhealthful in our eating patterns. Would you turn, please, to page 4 in the syllabus, and you will find a section on the hyperactive child. The first paragraph under hyperactive child presents the thought that rich rewards come from learning some fundamental principles and faithfully following a few basic suggestions on this common disorder. The child should be treated vigorously to promote long-range benefits and avoid serious antisocial problems in youth and adulthood. In some series, some 15% of children who are hyperactive become antisocial as adults. That means that they get into some kind of difficulty, social difficulties, antisocial types such as crime or drugs or alcoholism or something of that nature. Hyperactivity is a common childhood disorder. It is a modern society disorder. Children of former ages not having it anything so likely as our modern children do. Its treatment with stimulant drugs is probably worse for the child than the illness, since under the influence of the drugs, the personality is altered. The person may become compulsive goody-goodies, sensitive to discipline, and incapable of proper use of the mind. Number 3, hyperactive children may be growth retarded, and a large percentage of hyperactive children have a high blood level of lead, a low blood sugar, they often have anemia, impaired achievement, and defective breakdown of stress hormones in the body, all indicative of a multiple system disorder, not just neuromuscular, digestive, or nervous system disorder. Now, the fact that these children show a multiple system disorder should immediately draw our attention to improper practices in diet, since we know that improper practices in diet can cause a breakdown of many of our different organs, many of our different tissues, can make the improper development of the mind as well. Much has been written recently on the relationship between diet and behavior. The relationship between diet and behavior is very intimate. Seventh-day Adventists have taught for over 100 years that what we eat and drink today walks and talks tomorrow. And in many instances, it doesn't even wait until tomorrow. We begin right away showing ill effects of improper eating habits. On the other hand, we often find that a person who institutes a program of good dietary habits in the morning before nightfall is already reaping benefits from it. So we urge everyone to study that has been given to us and bring one's life into proper accord with it. In the fine little book, Counsels on Diet and Foods, about page 100, you will find a section on the physiology of digestion. If you will master that chapter in Counsels on Diet and Foods, you will be wiser than your physicians. You will be wise enough that you will be able to direct almost any kind of problem that occurs in your gastrointestinal tract. And further, if you will obey all of the instruction that we are given there, it is unlikely that you will have much in the way of problems with the gastrointestinal tract. That place where there are more gastrointestinal problems than any other place in the world is also the place in the world where they use more spices than any other. Where do they use more spices than any other place in the world? In India? Isn't that one of the reasons why the New World was discovered? To look for spices? To make a by seas route to the land rich in spices? And also tea? In India, they have more cancer and more stomach complaints than in any other country of the world. Where do you suppose is number two? Mexico. Mexico, which is proverbial for its high spice use. And next comes Korea. We have a large Korean population near us, and many of them, even though they are making a great attempt to live healthfully, still have a lot of stomach problems. Most of them have not completely withdrawn entirely from the use of spices. And so they do continue to have gastrointestinal problems. Let us look at item number four. Family problems are never to be discussed in the hearing of children. Fathers are needed by children as well as mothers, especially beginning at about age five. Fathers should give some of their leisure hours to their sons. There are often inadequate external controls in the parental environment, reflected by such things as eating between meals, temper flare-ups, no set pattern of life, eating wrong things, use of a lot of spices, heavy use of sweets. These things are reflected in the children's lives. And I believe that these things are reflected in the children's lives even when the children don't know about it. If the parents have improper controls in their appetites and their diet is not controlled properly, that there is an unconscious influence on the children to make them so that they are undisciplined. In Messages to Young People, page 417, we read about this unconscious influence that people have. This unconscious influence involves every person that we meet. If your prayer life is not a good prayer life, if you're having difficulty in controlling your appetite, you will also have difficulty in bringing your life under control in other ways. You will also have an adverse influence on people that you meet. Ellen White said that we are not under any circumstances freed from the responsibility of the influence that we have on others, whether it be conscious or unconscious. So parents, shape up. God is expecting you. He tells us, come into line. Come into line. That's the counsel given to parents. We are told that parents have a most sacred and solemn obligation to shape up in their own lives so that the influence, both conscious and unconscious, on their children can be a better one. As far as possible, eliminate such intensely stimulating factors in the life as TV, comics, radio, stereo, competitive games, a noisy home environment, and city living. Why city living? Why does city living? Yes, the rat race and pressure on the parents. What about on the children? They're protected from the rat race and pressure. Noise, that's a very important thing. Such things as rock music are known to have a deleterious influence on the bodies, not just the ears, not just the delicate structures of hearing, but on such things as blood pressure, heart rate, digestive functions, and ability to function in school with the mind. Rock music is not good for one. Noise, a noisy environment reduces one's likelihood of being able to live a long time. The lives of individuals who live and work in a noisy environment is their length of life is 5 years on the average shorter than the length of life of those who are in the same socioeconomic level but live and work in a quiet atmosphere. But there is yet another reason why children should be in a country environment. What is that? Peer pressure. Peer pressure. There is an old saying by the British educators, and it goes like this. You may send your children to the masters, but the students will educate him. And this is so true about city living, that no matter what kind of positive influence you may have inside the home, the influence of the children on the block have more influence than your influence. We have been told that one improper child can do more harm to your child's character development than 10 teachers can undo. One improper child. Well, my children didn't have 10 teachers in all their schooling experience. So one child could have undone everything, I guess, in their character development. Inconsistent discipline and unwise supervision lead to poor personal control. Have few rules for your child, but strictly enforce them. The parent who understands this principle will not make rules for his children except when they must be made. When a rule must be made, the child must do it. You stand in the place of God to that child, and if you have a rule, let's say no eating between meals, then it is an absolute rule. Absolute. He cannot eat between meals. If you have a rule for your child that he must make up his bed in the morning, then he must make up his bed. He must make it up in the morning. So don't have many rules for your child. But when you establish a rule in your home, then everyone, mother, father, other children, and grandmother, must all be willing to let you enforce the rule. Now, what about grandmothers? Grandmothers, in 9 cases out of 10, will spoil their grandchildren even when they were good parents. 9 cases out of 10. That is child guidance. 9 cases out of 10. So grandmother, unless you are certain of your ground, do not countermand what your daughter says to her children or what your son says to his children or your daughter-in-law. You may be too lenient or you may be on the road to spoiling your child. Let your children handle their own children. If you want to do something for the grandchildren, do it for the parents. Now another thing. Most children in this modern age are household pets, just like the cat and the dog, and are treated much in the same playful way. And this is a mistake. Children are little adults, and they should be treated with respect, and tenderness. This does not mean that they are to be treated with cold, unsympathetic reserve. Far from it. They are to be treated with cheerfulness. And you are to enter into their sports with them. What kind of sports? Competitive sports? I don't believe so. I believe that all of the counsel that we have on the game, on competitive games, is negative. All of it. Competitive games are war games. And I believe that war games were not born in heaven. But there are many sports, many, many, many sports that are not competitive. Learn what these sports are. Use your ingenuity. If you have to deal with children, God is calling on you to use your ingenuity. do not follow in the tracks of the Egyptians. We are bound for Canaan, and everything about us is different. Our recreation is different, our food, our clothing, our day of worship, everything about us is different. Competitive games are not good for one. Well, what about when you get to be an adult? Then a good game of tennis would be just what the doctor would order to give you good athletic training for the heart and lungs. Correct or incorrect? Well, I'm sure that you would believe that I would say it is incorrect. I think that all kinds of competitive games, so far as exercise is concerned, are inferior at very best and may be actually destructive even to adults. And we should promote for adults sports that are not competitive. Gardening is one of the very best for children, and I find it a very good one for adults too. If you work at gardening in the same way that you would work at a competitive sport, that is with interest and with vigor, I believe that you can find that gardening is just as training to the heart and lungs as are competitive sports, such as tennis. When I became a Christian, I began to recognize that the attitude that I had toward my partner or partners when I was playing tennis was not a good one. The Holy Spirit impressed me that it was not a good thing, not the best thing, for me to play tennis. Imagine my surprise when I found it just that way in the spirit of prophecy, that tennis was not only not recommended, but we were counseled against it. Let us continue. Disarray and clutter confuse children and lead to poor performance. Keep everything the child's eye rests upon neat and orderly. An irregular schedule upsets the natural biologic time clocks. Have set times for all major events. Bedtime and arising time, exercise time, meal time, bath time, story time, and so forth. You might think that it does not harm your child to be off schedule and that he recovers faster than you do, but probably the reverse is true. It may be that your child recovers less readily than you do from an irregularity in scheduling. Number 5, do not place the child in unfamiliar surroundings at night. He should go to bed in his own bed every night. Have no other person in his bed. A child should be in his own bed alone at night. The importance of that for every parent should be emphasized by reading the book, A Solemn Appeal. If you have not read that little book, then you should do so. Or you may read the section on the marriage privilege in Mind, Character, and Personality, the first volume, which deals with all of these things from birth up. Spend the night parties are fashionable, but are unhelpful both physically as well as socially. Plan some other type of social activity. Now let us skip down to item 7. Certain hyperactive children have become more calm and easier to control when foods poor in B vitamins, junk foods, food additives, and rich or irritating foods have been removed from their diets. Many adults report a similar calming effect of a simple diet. Would you turn, please, to the last page in this little booklet, page 20. And here is a list in column 4 on page 20 of the top 10 food groups causing food sensitivities. Milk and dairy products are number 1, causing alone more food sensitivities than all other foods causing sensitivities put together. 60% of all food sensitivities are caused by dairy products alone. And all other foods causing sensitivities only cause 40%. Coffee, tea, chocolate, and colas, this group comes second. Citrus fruits and juices are third, and the small grains are fourth. The nightshade group are fifth. That would be tomatoes, potatoes, eggplant, peppers, pimento, paprika, and so forth. Then another group of fruits, strawberries, apples, and bananas are next. Cane sugar, syrup, and honey are next. Eggs, beef, fish, and pork are next. Peanuts, all legumes, nuts, and seeds are next. And the last group is that of garlic, onion, lettuce, spices, flavorings, fats, colorings, yeast products, salt, alcohol, beer, and wine. These foods will constitute approximately 95% or more of the food sensitivities that people suffer from. Would you notice, bottom of page 20, symptoms of food sensitivities? Notice this long list of items caused by, of disabilities caused by food sensitivities. And this is not by any means all of them. Learning disabilities and poor concentration. And I would like to tell you about a little girl who came to us with a severe problem with hyperactivity, destructiveness, learning disabilities, and poor concentration. She had been required by the superintendent of the Muskogee County Schools to leave school. And yet the state required that children be in school until they're age 16. She was only 13 at the time that the superintendent of schools said she couldn't come back anymore. The reason that she couldn't come back was because she was destructive to the property. She often attacked her teachers. She never had passed a grade in school, although at that time she was in the eighth grade. No teacher would keep her a second year. She just kept on going up in school. She had never made a test paper higher than a 60, and most of her test papers carried a zero on them. And she merely laughed at the teacher. She was impossible to deal with. She did not like women doctors. And when her mother brought her to see me, she seemed to take a special dislike to me. The interview was a long and difficult one. But her mother largely ignored the girl, who was very, very difficult and impudent during the interview. I gave the mother all of the instructions that I've been talking with you about on the hyperactive child, and also told the mother to leave all of these foods out of the young lady's diet. I didn't expect that the mother would be able to do all of that, because of the fact that the girl was now 13 years of age and the mother had not yet been able to get her daughter under control. And I didn't expect that she would be able to do so at this late date. But in this, I underestimated the mother. And when I saw the girl a second time, by that time she had already started to school in the private school, and it had been 3 months since I had seen her the first time. At that time, she presented a paper to me that had her name on it, an examination paper that had 100 written at the top. This little girl had a complete change around in her personality and in her character. She began to develop friendships, which she had never had before. Her teachers began to enjoy her being in the class. Her mother said that she was a perfect angel in the home. An absolute turnaround. She had been an angel, but the wrong kind, in the home. No one liked her in her church either. She was a little terror in the church in which she lived, and a lot of the people in that church, it was the Worldwide Church of God, commented to me on what a change around Valerie had had since she had gone on the special diet. Now, not every child will respond in that way, but a significant number will. It is always well worth a trial to give a child a special diet to control their environment in the way that we recommend here and to assist the child to understand his own problem. And if you can get a benefit for the child, you will be very much blessed. And so will the child. Now, not only are learning disabilities and poor concentration involved in food sensitivities, but a number of other things are too. By the way, poor concentration in adults is often associated with a fat sensitivity. We have had many people who have reported to us after going off all free fats, that would be margarine and other butters, fried foods, mayonnaise, cooking fats, salad oils, by going off all these, that their concentration is much better. So that can help quite a great deal. Bags under the eyes we also find to be associated in many people with the use of free fats. So if you have a problem along those lines, remove fats from your diet and expect that within about 30 to 40 days, the bags under your eyes will get much fainter and may even disappear entirely. Look at respiratory tract symptoms. I believe that if a person has repeated colds or sore throats, that these individuals are very likely to be involved in a food sensitivity, milk being the commonest one causing upper respiratory tract problems. Dr. Frank Oskey, who wrote the little book called Don't Drink Your Milk, he is the pediatrician, head of the Department of Pediatrics in Upstate Medical Center in New York. Dr. Frank Oskey says that he has never seen a case of streptococcal sore throat in a child who has not had an exposure to milk within the previous 5 days. That then puts a very strong reason for parents not using milk. If you don't use milk in a child's diet, what can you use to replace the nutritional requirements that the child has? What would you suggest? You may use soy milk if you would like. My children didn't like it, and so we were not able to use that for our children. Yes. What was that? Yes, any kind of nut milk. Yes, some people like that too. That can be a very good thing to supply some of the nutrients missed in milk. That may be too expensive for some families. What would you find in the way of inexpensive and common foods that would replace all the nutrients in milk? Legume, that's what a cow eats, isn't it? What else does a cow eat? Whole grains, not the white variety. Cows don't eat the white variety, did you know? What else?
Green leafy vegetables.
And green leafy vegetables, those three things, and the cow doesn't eat anything else. So any nutrient she is going to put in milk will have to come from those three things. We can get all the nutrients that we need from these same three sources. B12 has now been discovered in green leafy vegetables, also in certain grains and in soybeans and some other things as well. B12, we had always said, was not found in anything from the vegetable kingdom. And so far as we know, all B12 on this planet comes from bacteria. So when B12 is present in a food, or you get it in any way, you know that it came originally from germs. But these germs grow in the conjunctival space. They also grow in the nose and nasopharynx and bronchi. They grow in the esophagus, in the stomach, on the tongue, around the teeth and gums. And Dr. Harding says that a person who is not on a high-protein diet can get all of the B12 that he needs from the bacteria that grow around the teeth and gums. So this puts another important thing in what we should teach, and that is have a balanced diet. Don't use a high-protein diet. Now, how would a vegetarian get a high-protein diet? Okay, meat substitutes. Meat substitutes, if they are used in large quantity and daily, could represent a source of high-protein intake, and that could be sufficient to upset one's calcium balance, one's B12 balance, and also to increase one's risk of getting cancer. In population studies as well as animal studies, we find that The feeding of a high-protein diet increases the risk of getting cancer. All right, let us go on to bedwetting. Bedwetting in children, a lot of bedwetting in children can be relieved simply by discovering that food to which the child is sensitive and removing it from his diet. In some series, 80% of bedwetting children have been cured by discovering that food to which the person is sensitive. Some cases of stuttering have been found to be associated with a sensitivity to milk. Cystitis, which is something that affects women and boys, cystitis is often due to cold feet, not drinking enough water, and also to food sensitivities. And the food sensitivity, in my experience, that has been most often involved in cystitis has been eggs. All right, the next item is that of leg aches, growing pains, and restless legs. Restless legs, this is a syndrome. Women suffer from it more than men. I had a patient one time who had restless leg syndrome so severely that when she wanted to write her name on a little slip of paper and her address, she was unable to do so because she couldn't hold her leg still long enough to write her name and address on a piece of paper. This woman, as well as many other women that I have treated with restless leg syndrome, had a sensitivity to coffee. Removing coffee from her diet stopped her restless leg syndrome. Now, not all women with restless legs have a sensitivity to coffee. It could be to orange juice, or to milk, or to onions, or anything else on this list. Now let us go to item number 7, that of arthritis. And I would like for you to take the little book, Natural Remedies, and turn in the Natural Remedies book to page 6. And on page 6, you will see arthritis treated quite extensively. Item number 1 tells about the nightshade family. Now, what are the nightshades? Tomatoes, potatoes, eggplant, and peppers. Those 4 foods. Let's all say those together. Tomatoes, potatoes, eggplant, and peppers. If you have a person, if you know a person who has arthritis, start here. At least 10% of people with arthritis, any kind, will respond to a diet free from the nightshades. We were in California about a year ago. We spoke to a group of people about like this one. There was an elderly man in the audience who came up to me afterward and said his wife took care of a 92-year-old woman who had been in a wheelchair for the last 8 years. He wondered if she could be helped by the nightshade-free diet. And I said, well, I don't know that she can. At age 92, she was very crippled and not able to walk, couldn't feed herself, and his wife had to take care of her just hand and foot. He went home and told his wife about the diet. She put this elderly woman on the nightshade-free diet, and I got a letter from the man in 6 weeks. He said that after 2 weeks, her pain was all gone. 2 weeks after that, her stiffness was all gone, and she got out of the wheelchair. She still had a lot of crippling, but she was able to walk around and to go to the bathroom by herself and to feed herself. And she was not like a 60-year-old because she was 92, but she certainly did get around a lot better, and everybody was very grateful. A very small matter to remove nightshades from the diet. And if it does help, it can be very helpful. Yesterday, when I was over in the office of American Cassettes, a lady called there and told me about her husband's condition. Some 6 or 7 years ago, he had been expecting to have a hip replacement, was already scheduled for it. And someone of our people told her about the nightshade-free diet. She put him on the nightshade-free diet, even though he was expecting to have a hip replacement. About 10 days later was when the hip replacement was scheduled, and within 10 days he was feeling a little better, well enough that he decided he would postpone the hip surgery for a while. He had been so severely handicapped with his deteriorated hip that he could not walk a whole block without, he had to walk everywhere with a cane, and he could not walk a whole block even with a cane. She told me that just a little while ago, just a few weeks ago, her husband had gone on a camping trip. They'd been gone for many days, and one of the days that they were gone, her husband walked 7 miles without a cane. He has continued to postpone his hip surgery. She believes that he will be able to get by without it. Now, not every person responds to a nightshade-free diet that dramatically, but significant numbers of people do, and everyone should be given the benefit of a trial on a nightshade-free diet. Now, the word in cutting out nightshades is indeed cut out. It isn't cut down. If you cut down on nightshades and expect it to be effective in treating arthritis, perhaps you ought to just forget about it. Dr. Norman Childers, who has done the work in this, says that if you take a tomato, cut it in two, and run your little finger across the cut surface and stick that to the tongue once every 3 weeks, that that is still too much for the individual who is sensitive to the nightshades. Notice item number 2 mentions a number of other things that have been shown to produce arthritic symptoms. Milk, wheat, egg, corn, pork, and so forth, all of these have been shown. Many of the things that are listed in the top 10 food groups causing food sensitivity. And what I like to do with a patient who has arthritis is to remove all of these foods, all 10 food groups, all at one time. When you have removed these 10 food groups from the person's diet, you have a very great likelihood of finding any kind of food that might cause a food sensitivity. Look at item number 3 on page 7, 12 raw pecans a day. Then a sleeping bag can help many people. You can make a little liniment that will help some people, and that is given in item 6. Do not forget that overweight increases the stress on all joints, and if you have any kind of joint disorder or discomfort, reducing your weight to slightly below average will be very helpful to you, maybe 5 to 10% below the average. Now, what is average weight for an American woman? Well, it goes like this. You get 100 pounds for your first 5 feet, and each inch thereafter, you get 5 pounds. If you are under the age of 25, you should reduce your weight by 1 pound for each year under age 25 that you are. So that if you were 24, you would figure your total weight and subtract 1 pound from that. If you were 20, figure your weight and subtract 5 pounds from it, and so forth. That is, from the ages of 15 to 25. Now, for a man, it is the same thing, but about 7 pounds that he would add per inch. So a woman who is 5'3" should weigh 115 if she's over 25. A man who is 5'7", or let's say 5'10", should weigh about 170 pounds if he is average. But many people prefer to be a little under average. Average Americans generally are a little on the plump side. And so it is best for us to be just a little below the average if we are fighting any kind of disease, so that the burden on the person will not be so great. Notice that hot packs, avoiding immunizations, avoiding a high-protein diet, all of these are suggested. Charcoal compresses in item 13 are are recommended. We have charcoal, powdered charcoal, in quart jars. If anyone would like to purchase charcoal, it will be available after sundown. And we feel that every Adventist home should have charcoal in it. This is a part of your missionary work. Charcoal can be used for more afflictions among your neighbors and in your missionary contacts than any other single home remedy. Can be used in sore throats, for hay fever, for arthritis, for nausea and vomiting, for the sore eyes, and on, for overdoses of various kinds. Charcoal is a very good thing to give as a gift to members of your family or to others in the church. Question is it a good idea to take, say, one capsule or one tablet just before a meal as a sort of an insurance? And the answer is no. Even though you may expect that you would take some harmful substance like pesticide or insecticide with your meal, generally speaking, it isn't wise to do any treatment on a chronic and regular basis. While charcoal does not take up nutrients well at all, it still may interfere in some way that has not been discovered, hasn't been studied so much that would make me feel really confident to endorse the use of it on a regular and constant basis. Now, charcoal can be taken for overdoses, as I mentioned, except that in cases of overdose of iron, which is the commonest cause of accidental death in children from swallowing, from poisoning, under the age of 10 in this country, taking mother's iron, these nice little candy-coated pills the child takes and becomes intoxicated with it, and many, many such children die. Charcoal should be used, but it must be used in very large quantities because of the fact that it so poorly takes up nutrients. Now, some exercises are given under item 15, and I think you will find those very helpful also. Now would you turn to page 58, and this tells another kind of arthritis. That kind of arthritis is gout, and you will see a variety of things that you can use for gout. Of course, the thing above all else that you must use for gout is that of a low-purine diet, and you will find the low-purine diet given in this section. Also, you will find that eating cherries, if you have gout, can be very helpful for gout. So remember that point on gout. Turn to page 110, and you will see the section on rheumatoid arthritis. Rheumatoid arthritis is the crippling kind that causes the deformities of the fingers and arms and the contractures that are so disabling, so disfiguring. This kind of arthritis is the specific kind that responds best to a nightshade-free diet. So individuals who have this kind should certainly try the hypoallergenic diet. It was first described in 1949. Now, another thing that we have found helpful for people who have rheumatoid type of arthritis is 6 to 10 apricot halves per day. These may be dried, fresh, or canned. Item number 12 on page 114 tells about stretch nylon gloves worn at night if a person has numbness or tingling or pain in the fingers or hands at night. To wear stretch nylon gloves will relieve that remarkably and make it so that the individual does not have that morning stiffness and pain. Right at this point, I would like to find out if there are any questions on this or on anything we have covered in our previous sessions. Yes?
Would
All right. Question is about the potato. And isn't it a good food? And the answer is, yes, indeed it is, and I hope I never become sensitive to potatoes. They are good. They have a good quality protein, a good quality of vitamin C. In fact, even after being cooked, they still retain about 30% of their vitamin C, which was high in the beginning, and is one of the major sources that we have of vitamin C. It is a very good food. But for those who are sensitive to it, it should be eliminated from their diet because it may injure them to the point that they can get crippled. Question? All right. Your body, the question is, how do you know when you're sensitive? Your body will tell you when you're sensitive. If you are sensitive, let's say, to the nightshades, then your joints will hurt. And hurting of your joints should be the signal to you to remove these substances from your diet. I'm sorry. Whole grains the same way. Not necessarily in the joints. It may be for whole grains. The signal that whole grains hurt you may be a stuffy nose or itching of the eyes or pain in the ears or gastrointestinal problems. Yes. All right, question is about cumin and if it's safe to use. We have now put cumin on our unsafe herbs or unsafe spices. As of about 3 years ago, when reports started coming out of toxicities from cumin, and just now I've forgotten what it is. I think it may be a carcinogenicity or mutagenicity. Yes. All right, question is about if cheese is bad for you, what about yogurt? Well, let's take a little group together. Yogurt, buttermilk, skim milk, and cottage cheese. Consumers Research did a research work on these four dairy products about 6 years ago and reported on it in Consumers Reports, which you can find down at any library, just under Consumers Reports. In this report, or in this research, they went all over the country, north, south, east, and west, and went into supermarkets and bought samples of these four dairy products. Within 30 minutes, they were in the laboratory testing each of these four products. They discovered a very interesting thing, and it's been several years since I read the report, and it has been several years since I worked with the health department, and I have forgotten the number of bacteria that the health department allows to still call dairy products wholesome. But let's say for bacteria, the number of bacteria that would be allowable in 1 cubic centimeter of milk or dairy products, let us just say that this number would be 1,000. That may be far of the mark. It may be 10,000 or it may not be more than 500. I've just forgotten. But we'll say that it's 1,000. The researchers found in their samples of buttermilk, yogurt, cream cheese, and cottage cheese, they would find something like 2 million. Not even close. It's just overwhelming. For moles, again, I've forgotten the number of moles that are allowable by the health department, but let's say it's 10. The researchers would find something like 50,000. Again, not even close. And so the researchers in Consumers Research reported in Consumers Reports that as it is currently available to the consumer, cottage cheese, cream cheese, buttermilk, and yogurt are not wholesome foods. Question? Yes, rheumatoid arthritis, swells fingers. And what was the last part? Question is it reversible? And the answer is no, not except by surgery. Once the bony deformity has occurred, it is a permanent change. Question. Question is, if you are sensitive to milk, do I not think it wise to try to substitute some other kind of milk? And I don't see any special reason to. And when you think about it, there really isn't any reason for us to drink soybeans. We can just eat beans. There isn't really any reason for us to drink nuts. We can just eat nuts. Okay, good question. What do you put on your cereal? I'm glad you brought that up. You may have a breakfast such as I had this morning, in which case you may put some milk on your cereal. This morning I had one of the most delicious breakfasts I've ever sat down to, never sat down to a better one. We had granola, which is one of my favorite cereals, and millet, which is unquestionably my favorite cereal. Millet cooked with a little bit of dates. And with that, I used carob soy milk on that and topped all that off with a delicious hot blueberry sauce. With that, I had a piece of good homemade whole wheat toast, and I chipped banana onto my cereal. And in addition to that, had a little bunch of grapes. And if that was not a breakfast fit for a king, I just don't know what would be. It certainly made me strong and healthy, and I've been strong and healthy and felt good all day. And I just appreciated that meal so much over at the pastor's house. It was just wonderful. I could sit down to that every morning the rest of my life, as long as I live, and not be unhappy with it. In fact, I almost hate to face tomorrow because I might not have that same thing tomorrow, and I'd just really like to have it. But I know that the next day I'll be just as happy with the breakfast that I have tomorrow, whatever that is. I always face my meals with a lot of interest. A lot of interest. Nothing like what we used to have when we were not vegetarians. When I used to approach the meal and think, oh, I wish my cook had put something else on this day. I just don't have any taste for what's being served. And others in my family would also do that very same thing. Oh, this again. I never have that kind of thing now. Now, when the cook presents whatever she puts on our table, my family approaches it with a great deal of interest and enjoyment. And every day is almost an adventure. What are we going to have this time for our meal? And I enjoy that. I enjoy my food with great gusto. I eat temperately, but I eat well. The same one who said that most people could do well if they ate half to two-thirds less than what they are currently eating, that same one also said, you cannot live on air merely. And so I eat heartily. I do not use anything that is highly rich. I use very few in the way of rich foods, maybe something like a few nuts, very few nuts occasionally, and that's about it. Question. All right.
Every morning, then I get something.
Question is, what about oatmeal? If you eat a bowl of oats every morning, will it keep you from getting some kinds of diseases? Well, it has a good quantity of calcium in it, nothing like beans would have. One cup of chickpeas has 300 milligrams of calcium in it, more than has a cup of milk. But a cup of oatmeal would have maybe about 20 to 25 milligrams of calcium in it and a lot of B vitamins. It also stimulates the thyroid, has a good quality of protein in it, and a very excellent quality of fat. All of those are good pluses for oatmeal. And besides that, I like it. Don't you?
Yeah.
Yes, very good. Delicious. I like it with fruit all cut up in it. The favorite way that we have cereals in the morning is with a cereal bowl with a cereal in it, piled high, really high, with some kind of homemade fruit sauce, such as homemade applesauce, or homemade pear sauce, plum sauce, apricot sauce, raisin sauce, berry sauce, or a fruit smoothie. Have you ever had a fruit smoothie on your cereal? Fruit smoothie is the ultimate companion for cereal. This is the way to make it, and I want everybody to go home tonight and make it just this way. Get a banana, a ripe one, and peel it. Put it in a plastic bag and put it in the freezer. One banana for each person you're going to serve. In the morning, break it into several pieces and put it in your blender, along with some fresh or canned pineapple juice, or any other kind of juice, grape juice, fruit juice, grape juice or apple juice or any kind of juice. Put a little juice in, turn your blender on, and in a few seconds you have a fruit smoothie. Pour that over your oatmeal in the morning, or scoop out the oatmeal with an ice cream scoop and put that on a little dish, a little banana split dish with a banana split and put in the bottom. Scoop out the oatmeal and put it on like that. Pour the fruit smoothie over it, and it should be quite thick. Pour that over it, and your children will not complain about their cereal in the morning. It will be a very delicious and appetizing, beautiful cereal. If you sprinkle a few shreds of toasted coconut on top of that, you will not have a problem. And you will be able to say, as did Ellen White on page 322 of Counsels on Diet and Foods, that every element of nutrition can be obtained from fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. One more question. Do we have time for one more? Question is, will cooking destroy the cancer virus in milk or eggs? So far as we can tell from science, it does not. Even heat-killed or autoclaved material containing cancer virus particles can give hamsters cancer. And we know that 7 out of 10 milk samples and 7 out of 10 egg samples in many series that have been done do show cancer virus particles. Ellen White told us that boiling, that is for 10 minutes, thoroughly sterilizing milk would make it less harmful to us or less dangerous than milk that had not been sterilized. Thoroughly sterilized is the word. Those two words used together. Thoroughly sterilized. That would make it less harmful than milk not treated in that way. Of course, it should come from healthy cows. One more question before our break. Yes? Question is the sweet potato or the red potato the same as the white potato? No, it is a little different, but it is also a good food, just as is the white potato. And the Republic of China now carries on its charts that its nutritionists use to instruct all of its people. They carry sweet potatoes or yams as one of the staple articles of diet that can be used as a replacement for meat and as a good source of protein and the like.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.